Fanning. Weekends on 2FM.
Okay, new movies time. Paul Whittington from the Indo. Paul, what's going on? By the way, welcome to the programme.
Thank you, Dave. There's plenty of stuff being released. There are things being released that might have got cinema releases and others that aren't. But the big thing this week, and in fact it's being released in installments over the coming weeks because it's so big, is this documentary, Women Make Films. I don't know if you remember Mark Cousins off the BBC, the Northern Irish film critic. He has a very particular way of talking.
No.
And every film critic can do a Mark Cousins.
Sorry, did you say it's released in installments?
It is, because it's 14 hours long, Dave.
Right, so it's like a big box set or something, okay.
And it's being released in relatively manageable three-hour sections on the BFI player and on Curzon Home Cinema. And it's very, very good. It's about the history of women making films, and instead of railing, as would normally be the case, about the ridiculous bias against women in the cinematic industry that continues to this day, actually, even though it's got slightly easier, he simply finds all these remarkable films that ought to be famous and aren't, simply because they're directed by women. There's one in particular. He shoots back and forth in time. It takes the form of a kind of road movie. And he has Tilda Swinton narrate it, which is nice and very effective. But he keeps finding, and he goes through the ways to open a film, the ways to, you know, plot, atmosphere, all that kind of stuff. And instead of asking stupid questions like, how are films that women make different than films men make, which is kind of an absurd thing to say, he just points to their general excellence and all these forgotten films and why aren't they well known. And it's a very effective technique.
But like, when you say forgotten, are you saying that like nobody really knows anything about them at all?
Well, some of them. I mean, he goes for mainstream people like Catherine Bigelow as well, who obviously is not gone or forgotten.
Right.
And that points up how unusual it, and even sort of journey women as well, and how in terms of directors, and how unusual it is for women to direct genre films, all this kind of stuff. But he's really getting at there are these kind of sort of forgotten films. Like there's a film called On the 12th Day by Wendy Toy from the 50s, and it's this kind of short comedy, beautifully, you know, that kind of saturated early colour, and it's beautifully designed, sort of whimsy about Christmas, and it's a gorgeous looking thing. And as he says, like, why isn't that on telly all the time in Britain, because it's a British film? And the answer seems to be because a man didn't direct it. And time and again, you come up against this kind of difficulty in terms of how the efforts are perceived. There's directors from all over the world. As I say, there are people you'd know, art house people like Claire Denis and Jane Campion and Mia Hansen-Love, which are more recent. But it goes back and forth in time in this very impressive way. I've only seen two of the two of the 6-hour tranches. There's a good bit to go, but I must say it's amazing. It sounds, obviously, you know, it's not for everyone, and it sounds as though it might be turgid, but it isn't turgid because of the way he makes it, and his lore, his knowledge is incredible.
So like that movie you mentioned, which is a short comedy, you say, from the mid-50s, On the 12th Day, it's so good that it deserves to be on at Christmas every year and isn't, and the main reason, just like for a lot of other movies, is because it wasn't directed by a man.
Well, it seems to be, because there's no other reason to there's no other explanation for it. There's a Japanese film called Love Letters, which I happen to have seen, and it was made by a woman called Kinyu Tanaka, and again, not well known, but like Kurosawa and Ozu and all these people, extremely well known. I mean, to people who like foreign films. So it's just this constant thing of if a woman made it, it's kind of, you know, it's less than or so on. Obviously, in the last decade or so, there has been a lot of progress in that regard. I mentioned Catherine Bigelow, also people like Ava DuVernay and so on, who are just kind of, you know, steamrolling through. But it's still, you know, how much more difficult is it for a woman to get a film made than it is a man, even now? Probably quite a lot.
And I'm just thinking of famous names like Jodie Foster and Angelina Jolie. It kind of helps that they're famous, isn't that it?
Yeah, and Angelina Jolie has mentioned this, that I don't even remember that drama, I can't remember the name of it, that she made with Brad Pitt when they were still a thing, where they're in the south of France and he's a writer. Do you remember that film? Did you see that?
Oh yeah, but didn't she also make the one with Donald Leeson in it, about the guys on the boat? Okay, I'm not going to start that. Okay, no, it's okay.
The war film, but that noise was not its title, but that was I don't remember either, but she did, and that was kind of quite good. I sort of include her in a thing I wrote about this as a sort of journey woman, which she wouldn't like at all. But what right. I mean is, he's pointing up. He has this scene from that film she directed, and it's very interesting the way she directs it. And he's got an amazing eye, actually. I think he sometimes finds things in scenes that the directors didn't know were there. But there's nothing wrong with that.
This is Mark Cousins, who's on the BBC Art Show. People will know him from years ago. And now this, and I presume with Women Make Films, what he's done is he's provided a great service to cinema in general.
He absolutely has, because there's all, I mean, aside from his argument, which is a very, it was the intelligent way to make the argument, he just brings up so many films I didn't know and should know, and I would think that I would know a fair amount about film. He just, it really is an amazing work.
Okay, anything else?
Yes. Take Me Somewhere Nice is, her name's Ina Senjatovic, and she is she's Bosnian Dutch. Her parents fled the war in Bosnia in the 90s, and she has grown up in Holland. And this film is kind of it's very stylish. It's a debut, and it has its problems, but it's very nice to look at, and it's obviously inspired by her story partly. This teenager called Alma, she hears that her father, who she never knew, who disappeared when she was small, is gravely ill back in the Balkans. So she decides to go and see him on this road trip. And when she goes back there, she meets these dodgy cousins who are gangsters. And she has this very romantic idea about what Bosnia is and might be. And she discovers it's very different to staid old Holland, if you know what I mean. There's a lot of good things in this, a lot of good ideas and a good performance in the middle of it. And it has a sense of humor, which is vital. But it's an interesting film, an interesting first film. I bet you will be hearing more from her.
Okay, Take Me Somewhere Nice. When you say a sense of humour, it's a drama, is it?
It is, but I think the main character, Alma, would be a little bit unbearable because she's so up herself if it wasn't for the humour, and so the humour is a kind of saving grace.
Right, okay, that's Take Me Somewhere Nice. Anything else?
Edge of Extinction, no humour in this film.
Edge of Extinction.
Okay. And it's funny that, Dave, how nobody ever seems to imagine a happy future for humanity. They never do. There's never films about how wonderful things are going to be.
You can never not have the word dystopian somewhere in there, all right?
And I managed to avoid it in my review in the paper, but not in this conversation. And you're absolutely right. It is a dystopia, and it is very grim indeed. It's an English low-budget film. This man in a Holden Caulfield hat, you know those fur-brimmed hats?
Right.
He eats tins of Spam by candlelight in this kind of bunker and spends his days stalking a deserted landscape. And we find out in these rather sort of clunky flashbacks that basically nuclear wars and bombs and civil wars have plunged humanity back into the Stone Age. And these feral gangs sort of wander the back roads picking on people. And just society has collapsed, really, which is not very nice at all. And this man is dealing with that when he meets this young woman, and he makes the wrong decision. She begs him to take her in, and of course she's a sort of proxy for a gang that are waiting in the bushes, and it's all about his battle for survival. It is very grim and very violent, and maybe that's what a dystopian future would look like, Dave, but it's pretty grim stuff.
Funny, I've seen one this week that got good reviews, and it was the same kind of thing, cheaply made and whatever, called After We Leave. And it's that kind of, the end of the world. You got to go off and live in some other planet and that. And well reviewed. I thought it was terrible.
Was it an English film or an American film?
It was an American film.
Oh, I haven't seen that. Edge of Extinction is grim.
Okay, well then Take Me Somewhere Nice is good enough. It works in one way. Edge of Extinction, no, it doesn't. And Women Make Films is absolutely great. And you still haven't seen the full 14 hours.
No, I haven't. No, right. No, by no means. I've only seen the first two parts. So yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And have you been watching a lot of other stuff this week?
I've been watching a lot of old stuff. Like, for instance, isn't it you that didn't see The Sopranos? Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Black Mark, Dave.
I remember you telling me that before. We've been going through it, and it does stand up for about extremely violent. But then it's a film about Jersey gangsters. But we're into the last season, and there are just so many good actors in it.
Yeah.
Edie as well as him and all the Shakespeare, and it just does stand up really, really well. A lot of old stuff, not a lot of new stuff at the moment.
All right, well, the newer movies is probably enough for you. Paul Whittington from the Indo, thanks a million, Paul, for being with us once again on the programme today.
Thanks, Dave.
Fanning. Weekends on 2FM.